Sim, mas depois, como também sendo dois artistas portugueses que estão muito encantados.
Em off, conversa de bastidores.
Hello and welcome to In Off, conversa de bastidores, which in English should be something like off-record, backstage talk. Today I have with me not two, but three guests, three women. Susan Meiselas, a documentary photographer who lives and works in New York. Meiselas is well known for her documentation of human rights issues for more than 40 years, especially in Latin America. She has been the president of the Magnum Foundation since 2007, which supports, trains, and mentors the next generation of in-depth documentary photographers and innovative practice. I also have with me Lydia Matthews. She's a Brooklyn in the US and Athens in Greece-based critical writer, contemporary art curator, educator, and cultural activist. I Stand in My Place with My Own Day Here is the name of the book that she has recently released about site-specific art. My other guest is Beatriz Lacerda. She's a sociology student from the Faculty of Arts and Humanities of the University of Porto, and she is now doing her master's degree about a very special project. And this project is what brings us here together today. Included in the Biennale of Photography of Porto, we have in this historical building of the Rectory of the University of Porto an exhibition called Travessia Mushima. It's a dialogue between Mushima, a video by Alfred Jaar, and Travessia, this project by Susan Meiselas. Mushima is focused in Angola and Travessia in the Afro-descendant people in Porto. What do they have in common? The Portuguese colonialism legacy. Meiselas, I will start with you, if you don't mind. Your name is well known for your documentation of human rights issues for more than 40 years. Recently, you have supported the Haven, a shelter for women and children facing domestic abuse, based in Sandwell in the UK, a project in the Black Country at the refuge of women who have escaped domestic violence. When we think about the role of documentary photography in the world today, there are just so many issues. Do you have priorities? What makes you jump into a new project and stay and be able to look beyond the surface? What gives you that feeling that there is a story to follow?
Well, thank you for the invitation. That's a great question. It's difficult because I don't think of myself as someone who jumps, but I do think of myself as someone who kind of walks in and gets a feeling of a place, and then I know if it's a place that welcomes me to stay and to work. So my earliest work was in my own neighborhood, a project that was called Prince Street Girls, and it went for many, many years as I watched girls around me living in my neighborhood grow older and then marry. And, of course, when I went to Latin America, I took a plane. So I leaped in the sense that I went to a place I didn't know, that I didn't speak Spanish, but I read about, and the reading about it intrigued me. But I could never have known I would have spent what's been now 45 years of a relationship, because I go back and I at different junctures. So I think of it as a process of immersion that's very organic and intuitive. And that's what's been so challenging here, because, of course, in COVID, that was impossible. So it's a this approach was a response to the conditions, as my work always is. But, you know, those little openings are very subtle. It's the issues sometimes dwell in me for a long time.
So you have, I know you only work with projects, but like a journalist, you need time. You need, when you work with a community, you need to gain their trust. How do you know that you have been, you are going beyond the surface and that you achieved what is the real image that you want to capture?
It's interesting because the beginnings and the endings are always the hardest, you know? The beginning is an intuition.
To feel what's, the if there feeling is something to of, work with.
Well, it's very different if there's an invitation, as in this case, which we'll hear about from Lydia. There was an invitation to respond to the opportunity of doing something here in Porto. Mm-hmm. I was drawing on my own specific history, which made it make sense for me. Otherwise, many artists just bring a show they've done somewhere else and they bring it to a festival of some kind. This was an opportunity to evolve a project. So that's what's exciting. And it's an experiment. You never know
quite what you're going to find.
Where it will lead you.
Yeah.
And that's really the magic of it. Mm-hmm. And then you give yourself to it as much as you can.
Your first experience in Portugal was in 2004 in Cova da Moura.
Yes.
It was your first time.
It was my first time in Portugal, and it was also an invitation. And, mm-hmm. you know, at that time you could just begin to, via the internet, find out about places. But I've always felt whatever you read is irrelevant to what you find when you land. So when you land, it's about where you walk and who you talk to and who you listen. And, you know, you begin listening and then you begin to shape a path, you know, take a path of some sort.
That's the difference between all the images that you see in the newspapers, on the television, and going beyond that and being looking at things beyond this image that we see every day in our lives. You like to go beyond that.
Well, that's more the conditions that photographers in those situations are. It's an imposition of, and it's a choice. You know, mm-hmm. I choose not to work that way. But if I have to work that way, I certainly have worked that way when there were deadlines. And there's something very impactful of that as well. You know, working for a daily, responding daily to your own city or mm-hmm. the different ways of working. This, I think, project-based work has been the most satisfying over long periods of time for me.
When you were in Cova da Moura, working with this project with the community, you said to a journalist something like, for me, the camera, to take a picture is like an excuse to be where I don't belong.
That still summarizes my life. Each of my encounters are very much my excuse to get to know the world beyond what my own boundaries, as it were. You know, what can you bring and what do you share and how do people shape how you think differently?
It also may be an obstacle because people are afraid of pictures sometimes. They don't.
That's sort of course, you know, building trust, and we can talk here. It's building trust via Zoom was a very different process, and it was a very mm-hmm. slow process. You may see an exhibition today, but it grew over 4 to 5 months of very small encounters. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is, it's not the intention of the destination; it's the process that's really what's most special.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's communicated through what you create mm-hmm. or co-create in this case.
So,
you know, for me, the Cova da Moura was a complete surprise. I had been to Mozambique in 85, so I had a feeling of, but never to Angola. Of course, I read about it in my youth. It's quite different to be in a place with a very specific history. It was mostly Cape Verdeans. And to, you know, open an exchange, which really was multi-generational mm-hmm. in the case of Cova da Moura. I mostly was working with teenagers.
Yeah. They are quite young.
Yes.
So you live in New York, and with everything that was going on with the Black Lives Matter movement, you received this challenge to do an exhibition in Porto. And after your previous experience, the Black community living in Porto was like the first thing that came to your mind?
Well, that's in a context. I think you need to ask Lydia about where, because she began to create the context mm-hmm. by making a choice about working with two artists, both, and I, of course, know Alfredo. He lives two blocks from me in New York. So we're old friends.
Neighbors.
We're old friends. And I knew
Lydia
the piece, Mushima, as well. Mm-hmm. So I think you can hear from Lydia the shaping mm-hmm. of that invitation. And then, of course, how it evolved, we were all equally immersed in trying to find the path through.
Yeah, I mean, with the pandemic, you could not do what you usually do, that is going to the field and
walking. I was walking accompanied. I was accompanying Bia, who was with her iPhone, leading us down some of the streets. Of course, Porto is much bigger than what we saw via Zoom, but we began little by little to meet people, and I think that was the mm-hmm. unfolding and the invitation and the response from various parts of the community is what made this special.
So you had other eyes, other feet in the streets, and we also have with us Beatriz Lacerda, not only the Black community, but also the participation of some members of the University of Porto, like Beatriz. She's studying sociology at the Faculty of Arts and Humanities of University of Porto, and who is doing the master's degree about this travessia. You were also the eyes and the ears and on the streets. You study in the city of Porto. Did you already knew this Black community, and did you find a new city? You study here. So what was new for you?
Hello.
Hello.
I found a new city, for sure. I had many ideas because I was studying the theme.
Okay.
So once you start to read about it and to Google for another exhibitions, another artists, another performers that are talking about this. And in my sociology major, I already was very interested in finding out our role as Portuguese in this colonial legacy. That I feel that the people of my age sometimes are more aware than my parents' age, and I feel we have that responsibility, so I felt it. And you know, but it's like Susan is saying, one thing is when you read and you study, and another one is when you start to look into your own group of friends, mm-hmm. your own family, or the streets you go, the bars you go. I found a new city. And I really feel that now, every day, I see more and more that Porto is not a white city. And every day I feel that, and I'm always looking now, and I sense that we have much more diversity than we sometimes even that we want to admit.
Okay.
Because we continue to paint this very white, and because of that non-racist city. So, you know, it's a racist paradox itself. With this project, for sure, I now see a new city.
Do you think the society is now ready to have this conversation?
I think, I really don't care if it's not ready. I think, it's mm-hmm. it's our duty. And in the academy, you know, because I entered this through my orientated Ligia Ferro, mm-hmm. that is a person that is very engaged in this kind of work. So I also feel that, like, the academy has to step up, you know, and to leave the glass building of the university and to start to go to the streets and to listen to the people speaking about themselves and not the other way around, because many things that we study, they are very paternalist. I don't know if you can say in English, because it's always the same group talking about the other one, you know. And this project does the reverse. We ask people to tell us without filter how they feel, how they see themselves. And for me, that should be the base of sociology, and not the other way around.
So Lydia Matthews, the curator that brings together Mushima by Alfred Jarre, that will be presented in Portugal for the first time, actually, and Strafsia by Susan Meiseles. We already know that both works are connected by the Portuguese colonialism legacy. How did you manage to connect one with the other? How was this whole process in your head first and then in the field?
Well, as Susan mentioned, that when you work, I think, in the cultural field, you're always responding to the conditions of the time. It's your job. And asking questions that don't get asked otherwise, and kind of framing things in ways that help people focus the attention that needs to be there. So, you know, in the moment that I got the invitation to curate from Virgilio, I was very involved as a professor at the New School and at Parsons School of Design with the fact that institutions, whether they were educational or cultural, are really asking hard questions about what does it mean to decolonize, and how do you really begin to not only include the other, but stop thinking about it as other, this group as other, but rather understand that everybody shares these histories, and that everybody really needs to contend with the realities of those things. Of course, it was also the Trump era when this invitation came in, and since I live both in Greece and in New York, I'm very aware, both in Europe and in the United States, of the power of the rise to the right of the right-wing parties, and the need, especially in this moment, to have hard conversations. So, and the Black Lives Matter movement was on fire in my streets in Brooklyn. So all of these things were coming together, and I thought, when I got the invitation, so how are these things being talked about in Porto? And is there a way to think about decolonizing in the context of this opportunity? So I had seen Alfredo's Mushima work several years earlier, and it had moved me very deeply, and I remembered it immediately, and I thought that would be a great way to deal with the colonial legacy in Angola. It's a very haunting piece and a very beautiful work, and it does it not so much through words as through music and imagery. And then when I was first asked, my practice is typically a curatorial practice involving communities and thinking about ways of doing social engagement through the act of curating. And so I very much wanted to do that, and the Ciclo people were interested in having a project like that. And so I immediately thought about Susan. Mm-hmm. We have known each other for many years, but never worked together. And it was an opportunity to do that. And also, because of the Cabo de Mora project, I knew that Susan had an interest in Portugal. So I was delighted when she said yes. So the ways in which this came together was to think about, okay, we have a piece that was done several years ago about the colonial legacy in Angola and the impact on the African continent. What is that impact here in the local community in Porto? So that's where it started, and then we asked to be put in touch with somebody at the university who would know about these things, which then ended up bringing Ligia Ferro into the mix, who introduced us to Bia and Dori Nigro, who's one of the community members and an amazing artist who we were very fortunate to meet, and Dona Claudia, etc. So it spinned out, and also it was a moment to think about, since it was the COVID era, how do you do these things at a distance? Mm-hmm. And so I immediately knew I needed
the support and the kind of collaborative thinking of Cynthia Bodenhurst, who is an amazing artist designer, knows the digital world and the the material world. And so we needed somebody also to come in who would help us think about what does it mean not only to have photographs on a wall, but how do you develop an app so that people can access the information elsewhere without having to touch screens, because we couldn't do that in COVID, et cetera. So it really was about a matter of both choosing a team, but also having a team evolve, and to our great fortune, these amazing people who became our partners.
Yeah, because you had Cynthia in Vigo. Mm-hmm. You were living in Athens, I believe.
Yes.
So, and Susan in New York, and the rest of the community in Porto. So how did you manage to cope all this huge team?
Well, I do a lot of international projects. So I am often working with people in different time zones. So it's not that unusual for me, really, to have to deal with that. It's not always so comfortable to have to wake up at certain hours or, deal with that. And also because I teach, and because of COVID, we've been working remotely, teaching, and thinking about how to create dialogues in those forums. And how to create,
empathy, because this is so much about empathy.
Yes, it is. And it is about empathy, but it's also about listening. Yeah. How do you set up a context for learning and listening and thinking about how a project can take shape through a dynamic of an exchange? Mm-hmm. Rather than thinking about what it will look like in the beginning, as Susan said, you really don't know what you're going to get until it happens.
To the field. Yeah. So you just mentioned him. The other day I was just having a little talk with Doreen Negro, and that also has a contribution for the exhibition with his artistic piece. And he was telling me, I hope this exhibition may be a place for micropolitics that develops to other ways of inclusion. He's tired of being the only black person in his classroom. He's also a model in all kinds of environments when he goes to public events. So more than reflecting on people's lives, may this exhibition engage people in a meaningful way to also act? This is a question for the three of you. So, Lydia, I start with you. What do you think about this main goal? I mean, it's the ultimate challenge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a very important question you're asking, and in some ways it will be revealed in the future. I can't really say that right at this moment. We're kind of putting out our proposal to people, and then it's about also the local community responding to that. One thing I was very conscious of is the fact that an exhibition is only up for 6 weeks, and so we're in the process of building a website. The app that we created that holds the videos of people speaking, that will live on. Mm-hmm. But the website also, and I want to develop the website in collaboration with a number of our partners, because that's a space too for people to learn who are these people, what are they interested in. So I want to create a space for featuring their websites, their works, etc., and figuring out how something like that can be a tool for enabling more community building. Because one thing we noticed, because of Bia's amazing work connecting with all these different kinds of communities, many people in the black community who we're seeing as our community, so to speak, for the project, didn't know one another before. So, there are opportunities for networking and creating connections that I hope will continue. And but it's really up to people in terms of what they want to do with it. It's a challenge to the local community, really, a provocation.
So, Beatriz, you are Portuguese. What are your thoughts on this?
I agree with Lydia said. And also, I think that, of course, an exhibition We know that many people want to come. We know that this is a place that many people don't feel comfortable entering. So what's important about this, it's what we can take out of the walls, mm-hmm. like in this gathering that we are trying to do, introducing people, listening to their stories. But there's also some stories that I think that people will be shocked because they live in Porto like me and I didn't know. So I take that ignorance blame, because if you go to the internet, there are things written about that. Like the case of Rio Bom, a place where people live in very poor conditions, below the bridge. And, you know, that's a story that the few people that we have that saw and are from Porto, they couldn't believe. And they want to go there. And they want to do something about it. And Ligia is also talking about it. Like, we need to, you know, this can't continue to be invisible. And now we are taking this to the academy. Like, we have some stories about the academy itself. So we can't ignore that anymore. We have stories that, you know, talk about being discriminated at the university, in the bars, in the lessons, in the way that people speak. And I think, and I thought about that a long time during this, like, what is my role being white? What can I... So I can listen, I can be an ally in that sense. Like, okay, this is a place where we can all come together and talk and help to make these stories more visible. Mm-hmm. So I think it will bring something, yes.
Okay. So, Susan, this is not only to go beyond the surface, but to take people to act. This is the ultimate challenge for an exhibition?
I don't think... I mean, act sounds so singular to me, and I think there'll be multiple responses. I mean, just hearing Bia, I'm imagining more... You throw a stone in the water and the way the ripples go out, and they continue to go out. And I think you... I often think of this kind of work. This is an... It triggers a kind of consciousness. It leads you in many different directions. I don't think of it as singular, a singular response. And I think we're also on the cusp of experiencing how both the community, both communities, the community that is less aware and the community that is most expressing itself, are going to respond. And today, in a few hours, we'll know who comes, who reads, who listens to the videos, who takes it home and shares it with someone else. So we'll not see most of the response mm-hmm. that a show like this offers the opportunity for. So I think, you know, you give all that you can. You hope for more than you can imagine. And I think we, you know, the real... that's sort of the most joyous moment, is standing back and not pointing in a direction for others to respond to, but really just hope that it touches them. And, mm-hmm. you know, it opens doors. If the doors are all closed and you have to knock, or the door has a little bit of a crack and it leads you to open it a little more, we all have doors in our own minds. So, you know, it's a combination of your eyes and your heart and your mind working together to ask questions, hard questions, and both, I think, as Bia said, you know, those for each of ourselves in relation to how we live, and those that we might find more connection to than we ever have imagined. Mm-hmm. So it's a process.
It's a process.
And it's sometimes very slow, but it's also very deep, or it can be.
Yeah. So Susan, Lydia, and Beatriz, thank you so much for this conversation. Mushima by Alfredo Jaar, that will be shown in Portugal for the first time, and Travessia by Susan Meiseles, to engage people to act against racism, to be more inclusive, to think about our recent past. Mushima, Alfred Jaar, and Travessia, de Suzanne Meiseles, will pose many questions. It will be up to you to be open to search for the answers. From the 14th of May to the 27th of June in Casa Comum at the historical building at the Rectory of the University of Porto. Come and visit. Thank you.
Thank you very
much. Thank you.